Not many writers go deep on the Spartans these days unless they're covering football at Michigan State. Ned Temko, our London-based connector of global dots, does so today, dusting off the story of the big-shouldered power play by Athens during its war with Sparta against the tiny island colony of Melos. Ned shows shades of a cautionary parallel in modern U.S. foreign policy. Back in 2022, Ned joined me on a podcast episode to talk about how he approaches his Patterns column. That column is a reboot of Pattern of Diplomacy, which was bashed out on a manual typewriter for years by the late, rumpled but refined Monitor legend Joseph C. Harsh. You can listen to or read about Ned and his own take on patterns, and you can see him in his book-crammed garden writing shed from a link in this intro at csmonitor.com/daily. It's Friday, November 6th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Clay Collins. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Representative Nancy Pelosi will retire from Congress at the end of this term, she announced on Thursday, ending a nearly four-decade career in which she became the first female Speaker of the House in U.S. history. During her tenure, the California Democrat wielded immense power and played a key role in passing major legislation, including the 2010 Affordable Care Act. Ms. Pelosi stepped down from leadership in early 2023, but has continued to play a behind-the-scenes role as advisor to Democratic leaders. The Rapid Support Forces agreed to a humanitarian truce in Sudan. The announcement follows the paramilitary group's capture of El Fasher, the largest military-held city in the Darfur region, after an 18-month siege. The RSF, which has been fighting the military for more than 2 years in a civil war that has claimed as many as 150,000 lives, said it looks forward to beginning talks on ending hostilities. A military official told the Associated Press a truce must include fighters withdrawing from civilian areas and surrendering weapons. Also, Google plans to build AI data centers in space, according to a research paper published this week. The company says it will launch two test satellites carrying four AI chips each into low Earth orbit in 2027. The chips would run on solar power. Google says the project will help meet energy demand for AI data centers and minimize the impact of AI growth on natural resources such as land and water. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Some Republicans might grow wary of creating pickup opportunities that make some GOP seats slightly less safe. Others might feel more motivated now to redraw lines. Democrats could feel emboldened to push for redistricting in states beyond California, or perhaps conclude they can win without it. Story Hinckley reports for The Monitor. The Monitor visited Michigan, a political battleground state, to gauge the economic climate in the first 9 months of the Trump presidency. We found people who are enduring economic uncertainty amid hopes that troubling signs will turn positive. Scott Baldoff reports from Three Rivers, Battle Creek, and Orion Township, Michigan, for The Monitor. Here's our patterns column. President Trump's conduct of foreign policy, respecting only strong powers and bluntly imposing his will on everyone else, echoes ancient Athens' behavior 2,500 years ago. That did not end well. Ned Temko writes from London for The Monitor. Head Start used to be regarded as a bipartisan success story. In small, rural communities, it can be the only preschool or childcare around. The record-setting government shutdown is now causing those centers, which also offer food and other support, to close. Troy Aiden Sambahon reports from Boston for The Monitor. The Mountain Club of Uganda is increasing community exposure to climbing. Roughly a decade ago, it had only a handful of Ugandan members. These days, 60% of new climbers are locals and from all walks of life. You can view our full photo essay at csmonitor.com/daily. Kang Chun Cheng reports from Kampala, Uganda, for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on restoring shared gain in world trade. A summit on Thursday between President Donald Trump and the leaders of five Central Asian nations aimed at striking deals on critical metals for high-tech industries could mark a significant advance for the world over the course of a few months. The meeting at the White House reflects a possible return to a global order in which countries exchange economic opportunities out of a self-desire to help others thrive rather than inflicting a zero-sum approach to international trade. In early 2025, such exercises in enlightened self-interest were losing ground. Mr. Trump imposed massive tariffs on most nations, most notably China. In return, China restricted exports of critical elements, known as rare earths, of which it controls 90% of world production. The two largest economies were reverting to a type of mercantilism from centuries past, trying to weaponize their monopoly-like controls over particular markets or resources. In late October, they called a truce on this tit-for-tat. The potential damage for both was seen as too high. In addition, the U.S. Supreme Court appeared on Wednesday to be inclined to end Mr. Trump's power to impose tariffs without approval from Congress. Meanwhile, many countries, including the United States, have sped up their search for alternative sources of rare earth elements to break China's dominance in that essential natural resource. Central Asia, it turns out, might be the best alternative, especially in the region's largest economy, Kazakhstan. In April, the country reported the discovery of deposits of several rare earth metals that, if verified, would be the world's third largest reserve after those in China and Brazil. Just ahead of Mr. Trump's summit with the presidents of Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio welcomed the spirit of free market economics in such a vital resource. We oftentimes spend so much time focused on crisis and problems, and they deserve attention, that sometimes we don't spend enough time focused on exciting new opportunities, he told the foreign ministers of the five countries. And that's what exists here now, an exciting new opportunity in which the national interests of our respective countries are aligned. The summit is also a recognition that open and fair competition in trade, in which each nation plays to its strongest advantages, helps promote innovation that drives economic growth. Throughout history, conflicts often break out when nations restrict imports or exports, impeding trade. After this White House meeting, the world might feel a bit more at peace. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how our pastor guides us to lean on God who meets our needs. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Victoria Hoffman and Ian Case.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.